You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
We're going to look at a passage of Scripture this morning that's a little bit unique. I shared it on Wednesday evening, what we would be looking at. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to Habakkuk, or Habakkuk. However you want to pronounce it, may be regional, it may be just a mispronunciation. I grew up with Habakkuk, or Habakkuk. I think it came out both ways from my dad. And it's a small book. We've been looking at these kind of obscure people that we don't hear a whole lot about in the Bible. Of course, we've been looking at Jonah. Now, we know the story of Jonah and the well, the great fish, and we've spent some time on that. That book is only four chapters long, and we looked at the ship disobedience and what happens. Habakkuk is only three chapters long. And it's a little bit of a unique book. And so I know sometimes, you know, we try to, if we've been in church for a while, we hate to look at the index. So let me help you so you don't have to go to the index to find it. If you go to Matthew, we all know where Matthew is, most of us, right? And if you go left four books, you'll find Habakkuk. So just go to Matthew and turn left, and you'll find this amazing book. It's a short book, but here's what it does. It does an amazing job. Habakkuk does an amazing job at helping us to have understanding and helping us to walk through questions that we have in life. And all of us have questions. Isn't that correct? There's those moments of what's going on, God? Why is this going on? And so this man, it's incredible how he looks at questions and helps us to realize questions are okay and how he moves through questions. So Habakkuk, and we'll start reading here in chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 2 through 4. And here's what I want us to notice. I want us to notice the radical difference there is in his life from the beginning of the book to the end of the book. And then what we're going to see is how to walk through questions and turn questions into confidence or questions into faith. So Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, it says, How long, O Lord, shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. So the law or the word of God is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. Now, I want you to see this. Skip ahead. Mark this down. Of course, you got your notes. If you are on YouVersion, you've got your notes there. And all the scriptures are there. And I think that's wonderful. I think there's also something to, and maybe you read the Bible on your phone or on your iPad. I do that, but there's something about writing in your Bible, some notes right there, circling. And so just jump ahead and circle these last verses, and I want you to see what happens here. In Habakkuk chapter 3, here's the end of the book. Here's the last statements that he makes. Amazing. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines. The produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food. The flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. So, nothing's yielding fruit. Animals are apparently lost and gone. All the natural provision. And then look at verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Time out. What did we talk about when we talked about Jonah? Jonah runs from God, ship of disobedience, didn't want to do what God asked him to do. It was against everything that he knew and had grew up and understood. And so he runs from the presence of God, and he goes through this incredible, horrific event that gets him back on the ship of obedience. And what were the words that came out of his mouth once he got on track? I perceive salvation is of the Lord. So he disobeyed, but then he got it. Okay, I give. Salvation comes from God. Look what Habakkuk says here. Yet I rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Boy, there's something about these books that tie together here. The God of my salvation. I recognize who God is. I've been questioning God, but now I recognize he's the God of my salvation. Verse 19, God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. If you grew up in church, old King James talks about hinds feet. Is a word that comes to mind if you're thinking this is where that passage is. New English Version says, the Lord makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread upon high places to the choir master with stringed instruments. Now, when we look at the first verses, it's, where are you? Why aren't you answering? God, what's going on? I mean, it's the same man. What's going on? Where are you? And now, yet I will give praise to God. So something transpired in his life that led him from all of his doubt and all of his questions to make him to be a man of confidence. When you look at chapter 1, he asked God, why is all this happening? You look at chapter 3, and he expresses confidence. He literally goes from questions to confidence. Habakkuk went from frustration to faith in God. We live in a society, in a world that's sick. It's a broken world. It's broken systems. And I have questions about why and what is going on in the world. And I want you to know something. Questions are normal and questions are natural. But get this. You can't live in the world of question. Why? Where are you? Does anybody here know what I'm talking about? Where it's just daily. It's like, God, why? Why haven't you answered? Where are you at? What's going on, God? The issue of today, the message is about this. Moving from questions to confidence. Questions are natural. But if you stay in the realm of question, it will always lead you to doubt and frustration. God doesn't respond to doubt. What does God respond to? Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So same man, same circumstances, same situation, but yet he moves from all the question of life. We see here, we see incredible confidence in his God. Habakkuk does a magnificent job of teaching us to transition from fear and doubt or questions to confidence. I can't think of a more relevant subject right now in the day and age and in the world in which we live. How do we move? See, we'll get to this. It's not only questions about the world, but we also have questions about our own lives. God, why hasn't this door opened up? You've promised it. I feel like you've made me a promise, but God, I don't feel like I'm getting a breakthrough. God, why is my marriage? I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed. God, I've been single for so long. God, you've got to have someone. Where? Why? Am I at the right church today? Are there questions? God, what about my kids? I've prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. My husband, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. For a husband, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. For a wife, I prayed and I prayed. And God, I've sacrificially given. I give first fruits. Before I make my house payment, I give my tithe. Before I pay my bills, I give my tithe. God, I give and I give and I give and I give. And I've not seen the breakthrough. So the message today is not just the questions of society, but it's the questions of life. And we can stay in the questions of life and the questions of society, and we can allow ourselves to be overwhelmed, and here's what happens. It's like we live in a realm of depression. It's like it's so overwhelming. It's like I can't breathe. It's so overwhelming. I feel like I'm having panic attacks. God. Hello? Is that right? So how do we transition? How do we move out of that? There's three big ideas in this book. And the big ideas, number one, is what we've been talking about. It's struggle and doubt. I mean, he is struggling and he is questioning. Now let me jump forward just a little bit to give you some insight here. Questions are normal. There's nothing wrong with that. Here's a prophet. Here's a religious spokesman for Judah. He's a spiritual leader, and he's got real questions. And that's okay. But what's important is that we don't stay. Questions are good. You just can't stay in questions. And what we're ultimately going to learn is this, is the question in life is not why. The questions that we really need to ask is how. Not why is this happening. Life happens. And I'm so sorry. The best I have the ability to have empathy for those that have question and that are in pain and disappointment and loss today. And I don't want to be trite in my answer. And in that pain, it's like, why, God? Somewhere in that pain, the question has to move to, okay, how, God? How am I going to walk through this? How do you want me to walk through this? And it's the beginning process of moving. And let me just say this. When I tell you that, that's not, I'll use the word again, it's not a trite formula. It's going to take, and we're going to learn this, it's going to take all the faith. It's going to take all the courage. It's going to take all the guts that you have to live a life of faith in the face of disappointment, in the face of discouragement, in the face of things that we don't understand, at where we tend to just say, why? Follow me here? And so I want through this message today and through the message next Sunday to help us to take steps in the right direction in moving in that transition. The second big idea is God's sovereignty. Boy, this should bring blessing to all of us. It should bring encouragement to all of us. And it's this: God is in control. Amen. Now hear this statement. There is a difference between evil existing and evil conquering. Amen. Big difference. See, evil exists in this world. Satan has been quarantined to this world. He's the god of the air over this earth. And that's simply because God has allowed him that for this season. There'll come a day when his influence will be destroyed and he'll be cast into outer darkness, thank God. But as long as we're in this world, see, Jesus came to redeem us from this world. This world's broken. God's taken us, redeemed us out of this world. But we still have the influence. We still have the brokenness of this world all around us. Evil exists. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. Now, I don't get excited about that, and I don't stand up and say, bless God, in this world, I'm going to have tribulation. I confess tribulation. How many recognize that's a spirit of stupidity right there? Anybody who says, I got tribulation, thank you, Jesus, bring it on. Come up here. And we'll slap that spirit out of you. No, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Somebody say amen to that. I love that. Yeah, it is rough. Yes, there is tribulation. Yes, there is difficulty. But even though evil exists, evil is conquered. Amen. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the evil one. Amen. So big idea, God is still in control. Hey, think about this. How many think there's a lot of sin in the world today? And people ask me, say, Pastor, what do you think? All that's happening, the financial instability, what's happening in Syria, the multitudes of people that have been displaced, the fact that Russia's moved in so strong into that region of the world, the fact of the matter that the valley where the great battle Armageddon is going to take place, and it seems like nations are focusing on this area of the world. What do you think? What do you think in light of the financial crisis? What do you think in light of Supreme Court decisions that have been made? Here's what I think. I think the Word of God is the foundation for every one of us who knows Christ. It is the foundation for our life. And though heaven and earth pass away, the Word of God does not pass away. It is foundational through all. Here's what I know, is that much of the Word of God that is written, Israel, the Jewish people, are in captivity or are in bondage of some sort. That the New Testament is written and the Jewish people are under the rule of the Romans. And we have Americanized the gospel into a false gospel. I understand the provision. I understand the blessing of God, and that's where I'm getting. But I want you to understand, the Word of God, everything we read, it was working in a world where people had no personal freedom, but spiritually, they were more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. And so here's what I believe. I believe the gray area is getting erased. And it's becoming a very black and white line of demarcation. And either you're with God or you're standing in opposition or opposite of God. And either you know the Lord or you don't know the Lord, but the religious ground is getting destroyed. And God, through His Word, is going to take care of His people. And everything we're going through is a part of what God, is His prophetic clock, is doing to bring us to what we know as the end times for the coming back of Jesus Christ. Here's what I know, is that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And that it is not a time for there to be fear in the church. It's not a time for us to cower. It's not a time for us to run. It's a time for us to engage. My dad used to say this. It seemed like I've heard him say it 1,000 times. That you take a diamond and you put it against a black cloth, and that diamond just sparkles. This is a time in darkness where the church is sparkles. It's our greatest hour. Amen? Yeah, because this is where people will run when this world starts untangling and starts coming apart. And this is where people will come for food. They'll come for help. They'll come for counsel. They'll come for salvation. What's important is that we're not acting like the world, but we're acting like the overcomers that Jesus created us to be. Amen. I hope somebody wrote that down. It's not in my notes, and I want to say it again next service. See, I think this is our greatest time. This is what this is all about. There's evil abounding. Oh, God, why? And over here, God, no matter what happens, I'm going to praise you. Yeah. Amen. The big idea was this, that God is in control. Here's the third big idea. It's hope. The big idea is hope. I don't have a lot of hope in the political system of America. I have very little confidence in anything that Washington promises, anything it says. I pray for righteousness. I'll vote for righteousness. I'll vote for the closest thing that looks like righteousness. I will not abstain from voting because I feel there is no choice. I thank God at least I have the opportunity to pray and participate in this system that we are blessed with in the United States of America. But here's the deal. My refuge isn't coming from Washington. It's not coming from Montgomery. My confidence is in a God who cannot lie. I hear politicians say whatever comes to mind when it comes to being elected, but have very little integrity once they are in office. But my Jesus made declarations on earth, and everything He promises, it will come to pass. So my hope, we used to sing it, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen? And so hope, it's not in a world system, but it is in God. So those are the big ideas. Let me give you a little insight concerning Jeremiah or Habakkuk. He was a contemporary of Jeremiah. Boy, that'd have been something. Because Jeremiah was quite a prophet. But they were both proclaiming God's word to the same people, the people of Judah, right before the Babylonians came and took them captive. And so there was a lot of darkness over the people of God, over the Jewish people. There's a lot of darkness. That's why I think this word is so real. There's a lot of darkness. We don't like to go there. All you got to do is watch news, read the paper. You know, we kind of live in a bubble down here at the beach, and sometimes we can just block everything out with our activities and being captivated with the beauty and the distractions of living in a resort community, a beautiful community. But in this dark, dark world, here, Habakkuk means embracer. And it's the picture of a prophet who is looking over the church like a mother hen. You know, we call people that are filled with fear, we'll say, hey, you're a chicken. But I tell you what, you ever been around a mother hen? She's watching out for her babies. She's out to protect her babies. My daddy used to always tell the story of a farmer and his barn burnt down. Most of the animals had escaped. Cows had got out, horses, mules had got out. He's walking through the charred barnyard, and he comes up to an old charred burnt chicken, and he kicked that chicken, and when he kicked that chicken, all these baby chicks went running out from underneath it. Because that mama chicken, that hen, had covered her babies to protect them from the fire. Her life had been taken, but their lives had been spared. Well, that's the picture of Habakkuk. He's trying his best to cover over. But then he comes. Let me tell you, I relate to him because I preach truth and I preach victory. I want good. I love you. The reason I preach hard messages, the reason I say the things I do, it's not trying to be arrogant. It's not trying to be funny. It's that I want to see maturity. I want us to be prepared in the day in which we live. And honestly, after I preach some messages, I just want to go to my office and hide under the desk. Don't want to see anybody, and then I just pray, oh God, help them to come back. I was so hard. My purpose isn't about trying to alienate. My purpose is to challenge, try to wake people up to say, this is the time. Listen, the disciples, they wrote about it. This is what people long for, to be a part of the day in which we live. Let's not miss the moment that we have. Then this preacher has some questions. Habakkuk, he's the one. Oh God, why? This doesn't add up. Can I tell you this? I have questions. I have a lot of questions. Just like Habakkuk. The deal is, I'm on that journey to move from any questions to move to confidence. If I were to tell you my questions, it'd be like me answering your questions. It would be so simple. But don't you dislike know-it-alls that just know everything? There's some things we're not going to know. We just by faith. No easy answers. And I see Habakkuk asking some real questions. Let's go back. And I want you to see this. Chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Let's read them one more time. How long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to your violence and you will not save? And why do you make me see iniquity? And why do you idly look wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. The word, the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. for the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. In verse number 2, he's saying this. He's saying, why don't you answer my prayer? Has anybody ever said, God, how come you're not answering my prayer? Look at this. In verse 3, he says, why is there so much sin around me? Anybody ever question, why in my house, why in this world? In verse 4, he says this, why is justice not being upheld? Now look if you would, down to verse number 12. He says this, are you not from everlasting, O Lord? My God, my Holy One, we shall not die. O Lord, have you ordained them as judgment, and you, O Rock, have established them for reproof? Look at verses 13 now. Let's just kind of walk through this book, and it'll set the foundation for closing and for next week. You who are pure eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong, why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent? When the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he, you make mankind like the fish of the sea, like crawling things that have no ruler. He brings all of them up with a hook. He drags them out with his net. He gathers them in his dragnet, so he rejoices and is glad. Therefore, he sacrifices to his net and makes offering to his dragnet, for by them he lives in luxury and his food is rich. Is he then to keep on emptying his net and mercilessly killing nations forever? Now let me just highlight what's going on right here. In verse number 12, he's saying this, God, I don't figure into your plans, question mark. In verse 13, he's saying this, God, why do the wicked prosper? Anybody ever thought that? I do everything right, and it seems like this guy who doesn't know the Lord, everything he does, he prospers in. He had the same question. Why do the wicked prosper? In verse 14, am I not special in your sight? In verse 15, God, should your people continually be ridiculed by godless people? In verses 16 and 17, it's God, will you ever punish the godless? I mean, this guy had some legitimate questions. Questions that we face. What we're going to do is we're going to walk through how he made that transition. Now, I've given you enough today to help us to start, because our questions have to move from question of why to questions of how. That right there gets us going. If we could start practicing that this week. Amen? Here's one thing, and it's this. He had honesty. He had honesty. And I think it all starts right there. I preached Wednesday night on, we're talking about pride, and we're talking about humility and how God opposes the proud, but he gives more grace, more power. He's not talking there about saving power. He's talking about power to overcome. We understand that we're saved by grace. It's the gift of God. But when it talks about, we're talking about grace here, where it says he gives more grace, it's more power. It's when we are willing to admit. And I think sometimes as followers of Christ, we don't come clean with God. We're not honest with God. God can handle our initial questions. In fact, that is the place to go. I would propose to you that before we ever go to people with questions, we should go to God, because that's exactly what the prophet did. We want to run, why? We need to go run to counseling, why? And that's fine, counseling's good, but understand, your first why, you should go to God and say, God, I need to empty my heart. I need to pour out. David did that. He would pour out his frustration to God. Amen? I really believe there needs to be some honesty before God. Here's two things. It was freely expressed, and it was expressed to God. Here's what we have done in Christianity is we run to people, and then we run to more people, and we run to more people. In these days, here's what I want to challenge you with. Run to God. That's what Habakkuk, he talked to God. That's how he moved. That's how he moved. He didn't get counseled to God, to confidence. He got the confidence by going to his Father in heaven. Now, it sounds like I'm against counseling. I'm not. That's just not your first resource. Your first resource is to run to God. Here's what I've thought. I don't do a lot of counseling anymore, but here's what I've thought about when it comes to that. I thought, okay, hey, I'm glad you came to see me. What we're going to do is we're going to go in the sanctuary, and we're going to pray for an hour, and then I'll talk to you. Have we given God a chance? Have we laid our burden down before God? Or are we looking for man's answer? And I understand we need some guidance. I'm giving you some guidance right here. Go to God. Spend time with the Father, because it's in the Father's presence you're going to start to get on the path of confidence. Hello? Man's not man's answer. God is man's answer. Amen. There's so much. We'll get there. Father, I love you. What an incredible, relevant passage of Scripture for us today. God, we have questions. We live in a world that's out of control. We look around. God, we look to you. We're honest with you. God, we wonder, but we find strength. We're able to take our doubt, and we're able to take our frustrations. God, it's there that we are able to then begin to understand. We look to you and your word, and we begin to understand God's in control. Yes, there's evil. Yes, there's all kinds of stuff we don't understand. But greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Yes, I live in a dark world, but I have a God that's greater than the darkness that's in this world, because he's already overcome the world. Lord, I pray that we begin to have a transition of our mind, a transition of our heart that becomes passionate pursuers of the things of God, that we would spend time, Lord, that we would lay out our life, that we would pour out our frustration, because it's in your presence that then we are filled up. It's through your word and in your presence that you begin to bring a resolve that moves us to confidence, to where we can get up from being in your presence. As Habakkuk got up and say this, though the herds run away, and though the vine yields no fruit, regardless of what may happen in this dark world, I will praise my God. I'm more than a conqueror through you. Lord, I pray we make a decision that this week we're going to spend time. This week we're going to find ourselves before you, finding the answer and the resolve and the peace. Oh, Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen.